Who Are the 144,000? A Study by Mike Vinson. Revelation 7, verse 4. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Who are these 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel? Whom do the scriptures reveal they really are? It is generally understood and accepted that the book of Revelation is a book of symbols. For example, Revelation 5 verse 6 is a description of Christ. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. This is Christ in total symbolism. Later in this book we're told, let him that has wisdom count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, in Revelation 13, verse 8. And again, here is the mind that has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains, which are seven kings, in Revelation 17, verses 9 and 10. Here we have a symbol within a symbol. We're also told at the beginning of this book that it is of Christ, but signified unto John. So the book of Revelation is a book of signs and symbols from Revelation 1:1 to Revelation 22, verse 21. But what these signs and symbols mean is not left to mere human reasoning and human speculation. They are one and all given their force of weight in the scriptures which precede them. We must be able to demonstrate with the scriptures what the meaning of any sign or symbol is. Signs and symbols are not realities, and the realities of scripture are spiritual realities. The Holy Ghost teaches comparing spiritual things with spiritual, 1 Corinthians 2:13. You have just been given the secret to understanding Scripture. The Holy Spirit does not compare spiritual with physical, nor does it compare physical with spiritual. The Holy Ghost teaches comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Christ tells us that all his words are spirit. The words that I speak unto you are spirit, John 6:63. Christ spoke in symbols and signs. He called them parables. And he told us he did so because he had not given unto them, the multitudes of God's called out people, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, Matthew 13:11. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand, Matthew 13:13. So this entire book, as with all scripture, is only understood by those who are given eyes to see and ears to hear. To most, this is not given. Otherwise, a carnal mind would understand what seven mountains are, and there would be no need for let him that has wisdom, and here is the mind that has wisdom. So to determine who the 144,000 of all the tribes of Israel are, we must answer two questions. One, what does Israel symbolize in Scripture? And two, what does 144,000 symbolize in Scripture? First, who is Israel? In order to answer our first question, we must first believe Paul when he says he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, of Romans 2, verses 27 through 29. Could this possibly mean that the real Jew has to be descended outwardly from Abraham before he can be one of the 12,000 from the outward tribe of Judah? What does Paul mean when he says that they which are the children of the flesh, outwardly, these are not the children of God, but the children of promise are counted for the seed? Does this mean that before we can be counted as one of the first fruits of Christ, one of the 144,000, that we must be outwardly one of the 12 physical tribes? Who are the true children of God? What does Ephesians 2 verse 11 mean when it states that at one time in the past we were Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Are those who are called uncircumcision really the uncircumcision? Are those who are called the circumcision really the circumcision? What does we, i.e. Gentile Philippians, we are the circumcision in Philippians 3:3, what does this mean? Who is the true circumcision? Who is the true Jew? Who are the true children of God? The 144,000 are mentioned one other time in the book of Revelation, and here we learn who they really are. These are they which have not defiled with women, for they are virgins. Paul tells us that we, Gentile converts, are chaste virgins in 2 Corinthians 11:2. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. Paul tells us, be you followers of me, even as I also am of Christ, in 1 Corinthians 11:1. Then Paul reveals where Christ dwells, that Christ may dwell in your hearts, in Ephesians 3:17. These were redeemed from among men, not outward Israel, being the firstfruits unto God and to the Lamb, Revelation 14:4. And yes, once again, Paul tells us that ourselves, Gentile Romans, have the firstfruits of the Spirit, Romans 8:23. So now, let's get this straight. 1. The promises are made only to one seed, and that one seed is Christ, Galatians 3:3:16. Galatians 3, verse 16. 2. If we, Gentiles, are in Christ, then we are counted for the seed, Romans 9:8. 3. We are the circumcision, Philippians 3:3. 4. We are the children of promise, in Galatians 4:28. 5. We are not the children of the bondwoman, but of the free, in Galatians 4:31. 6. You are the children of God, Galatians 3:26. And 7. We are the Israel of God, Galatians 6, verses 15 and 16. The one thing that should be clear to him that has wisdom is that the 144,000 are the firstfruits unto God, and the firstfruits are of all the tribes of the children of Israel, of Revelation 7:4. So who is the Israel of God? In Christ Jesus, neither circumcision, i.e. being physically descended from Abraham, avails anything, like placing us in the 144,000, nor uncircumcision, i.e. not being physically descended from Abraham, but a new creation, a new creature, is all that counts. And as many as walk according to this rule, that's verse 15, peace be unto them and on the Israel of God. Galatians 6, verse 15 and 16. Obviously, the Israel of God has nothing to do with physical descent or physical outward circumcision. The seed of Abraham are those who are in Christ, the one seed of Galatians 3:16. All the promises are in Christ. The only way to be an heir of the promise made to Abraham is to be Christ's, Galatians 3:29. All the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us Gentile Christians of 2 Corinthians 1:20. Does all the promises of God mean only the promises made to the Gentiles? If in Christ we are Abraham's one seed, then how could there possibly be any promises of God made to Gentiles? No, there are no promises made to the bondwoman and his son, those Gentiles of Galatians 4:30. But if you have any doubt about what promises Paul had in mind when he said, all promises of God, notice what he says on this same subject in this same book. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Which promises are these? They are the three promises Paul has just quoted. To whomever these promises are made will reveal to us who Paul considers as the Israel of God. Were they made to Gentiles or to Israel? Let us see. I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. 2 Corinthians 6:16. To whom was this promise made? And the Lord spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say to them, And I will walk among you, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. Leviticus 25, verses 1 and 2, and Leviticus 26, verse 12. This promise is made only to Israel. And yet Paul says we are the Israel of God, and applies it to the Corinthians who were in Christ. Wherefore come you out from among them, and be you separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. 2 Corinthians 6:17. To whom is this promise made? Depart you, go you out from thence, touch no unclean thing, go you out of the midst of her, be you clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. The Lord has comforted his people, he has redeemed Israel. Isaiah 52:11-9. This promise is made only to Jerusalem and Israel. Yet Paul says that Jerusalem above is the mother of us all, Galatians 4:26, and applies this promise also to the Gentile Corinthians. And will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord. 2 Corinthians 6:18. Once again I ask, to whom is this third promise made? I will be the God of the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Jeremiah 31:1-9. Once again, this promise is made only to the families of Israel. And once again, Paul applies it to the Gentile converts. There are two revealing facts in this chapter of Jeremiah. One, this is the chapter in which it is revealed that God has divorced Israel according to the flesh, Romans 9:3 and Jeremiah 31:31. And two, here in Jeremiah 31, we're told that Ephraim is my firstborn in verse 9. Yet, in Revelation 7, verses 1 to 8, in the enumeration of the symbolic 12 tribes, neither Ephraim nor Dan are mentioned. Ephraim was the name given to the entire northern nation, also known as Israel, after Solomon's death. So in reality, only 11 of the 12 tribes are mentioned in Revelation 7. Dan is left out, and his name is replaced by the tribe of Joseph. Joseph, of course, was actually the father of both Ephraim and Manasseh, yet Ephraim, the single largest tribe in Israel, is not even mentioned. These facts simply point to the symbolism with which we are told up front in the first verse of the first chapter that this book is signified in Revelation 1 verse 1. Getting back to Ephesians 2, Paul explains why he appropriates all these promises made to Israel to his Gentile converts. That at that time you were without Christ. And what does being without Christ mean? Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, i.e. not capable of being one of the 144,000. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were afar off, i.e. at one time in the past, are now made near to the blood of Christ. Just what does the blood of Christ accomplish? It made Israel and the Gentiles both one. Ephesians 2:14. One inward Jew, one circumcision of the heart in spirit, and one Israel of God. For to make in himself of twain, Israel and Gentiles, one new man, and that he might reconcile both Israel and the Gentiles, unto God in one body. Verses 12 through 16. What room is there in this statement for two Jews, two circumcisions, or two Israels? He is not a Jew which is one outwardly, Romans 2:28. They which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of promise are counted for the seed. Romans 9, verse 8. We, Gentile Galatians, brethren, as Isaac, are children of promise. Galatians 4:28. It is only the children of promise who receive the promises. Will the physical 12 tribes be ruling with those who, as Jacob, are children of promise? What says the scriptures? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, i.e. Jerusalem, which now is and is the bondage with her children, of verse 25. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman, Galatians 4:30. So who then will be heirs according to the promise? Galatians 3:29. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of the promise. Galatians 4:28. So then, brethren, we are not the children of the bondwoman, but of the free, and heirs according to the promise of Galatians 4:31. Apparently, so far as God is concerned, the flesh profits nothing. John 6:63. We are told that Christ made one statement that caused many of his disciples to go back and walk no more with him in John 6:66. What was it that caused this? It was the statement that we have just quoted, the flesh profits nothing, of John 6:63. This statement is still causing many of his disciples to go back to the flesh and walk no more with him. It is the inward spiritual Jew, it is circumcision that is of the heart in the spirit of Romans 2:29, and it is the spiritual Israel of God of Galatians 6 verses 15 and 16 that are counted for the seed of Romans 9:8. Hence the symbol of 144,000. 12,000 from all the tribes of Israel is the symbol of the true Israel of God of Galatians 6 verse 15 and 16. The singleness that is in Christ. Here is Paul's concern for his converts in all of his epistles. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiles Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity, Greek word means singleness, that is in Christ. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 3. Are you beginning to see the singleness of our calling? We Gentiles were, in the past, aliens from the commonwealth, the 12 tribes of Israel. But now we are made near by the blood of the Lamb. Just how close to the 12-tribe commonwealth are we now? Now therefore you, Gentile Ephesians, are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the 12,000 from each tribe, saints. In other ages, this was not made known, as it is now revealed that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, i.e., with the 144,000 of the quote-unquote commonwealth of Israel, and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the singular gospel. Ephesians 2:19 and 3:6. We, Gentile Galatians, as Isaac, are the children of promise. Galatians 4:28. Jerusalem, which is now, answers to Agar, not Sarah, as the whole Christian world believes, and is in bondage with her children. Galatians 4:25. What says the scriptures? Now here is what the scripture says about who the 144,000 are and who they are not. Cast out the bondwoman and her son. Jerusalem that now is and is in bondage with her children, of verse 25. For the son of the bondwoman, that outward Israel, shall not be heir with the son of the free woman, Sarah. So then, brethren, here's the truth. Can we accept the truth? We, Gentile Galatians, are not the children of the bondwoman, the outward Jews of Romans 2:28, Agar, Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children of Galatians 4:25, which is called the circumcision of Ephesians 2:11, but of the free, the true circumcision of Philippians 3:3, the true Jew of Romans 2:29, and the true Israel of God of Galatians 6, verses 15 and 16. Paul's statement that there is neither Jew nor Gentile in Christ is not to be understood to mean that there is no Jew. He is a Jew which is one inwardly, Romans 2:29. Circumcision avails nothing is not to be understood that there is no circumcision. We are the circumcision, Philippians 3:3. What Paul is saying is what Christ said, the flesh profits nothing, John 6:63 and Philippians 3:7. 12,000 from each tribe is not to be understood as outward children of the flesh, because these are not the children of God, but the children of promise are counted for the 144,000 or 12,000 from each tribe of Israel seed of Romans 9:8. And who are the children of promise? I repeat, now we brethren, Gentile Galatians, are the children of promise, Galatians 4:28. These are they which are virgins, Revelation 14:4. Whom do the scriptures reveal these virgins signify? I have espoused you, Corinthians, to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin unto Christ, 2 Corinthians 11:2. There again is the answer to our question, if we can receive it. What does the 144,000 symbolize? Do we think that because the scripture declares that God owns the cattle on the 1,000 hills of Psalms 50 verse 10, that he therefore does not own the cattle on hill number 1,001? Is that what the scripture is saying? Of course not. Neither are the virgins, first fruits, limited to exactly 144,000. No, the explanation of the first 8 verses of Romans 7 is found in the 14th chapter of this book of symbols. 144,000 redeemed from the earth, redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. Revelation 14 verses 1 through 4. The 144,000 were redeemed from the earth. These were redeemed from among men, being the firstfruits unto God and to the Lamb, verses 5 and 6. It is clear from the revelations of Paul that those in Christ are the one seed to whom all the promises apply. So it is apparent that 144,000 and the one seed of Galatians 3:16 are in reality one and the same. They are the first fruits. They are those to whom all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God, of 2 Corinthians 1:20. Why 12,000 from each tribe, you ask? Numbers are as symbolic as anything in Scripture. 6, being the day upon which every beast on earth, including man, was created, is symbolic of carnal man, independent of God as a mere beast. I said in my heart concerning the estate of the sons of men that God might manifest them, and that they might see that they themselves are beasts. Ecclesiastes 3:18. It also symbolizes man's labor. The number 666 symbolizes the carnal Adam in full-blown rebellion against God, sitting in the temple of God, claiming to be God. 2 Thessalonians 2:4 and Revelation 13:18. See Strong Delusion on the website, which has also been audioed. 7 symbolizes completion, both of the physical carnal creation, Genesis 2 verses 1 and 2, and of the final spiritual creation, Hebrews 4 verses 1 through 11. So likewise, the number 12 is simply symbolic. It symbolizes foundational government, whether of Ishmael, who is the symbol of Abraham's after-the-flesh firstborn, of Genesis 25:16 and Galatians 4:25, or the physical Israel, whose 12 tribes symbolizes the true Israel of God, of Galatians 5:15 and 16 and Galatians 4:25 through 30. In reality, of course, we're told of physical Israel that these are not the children of God, but the children of promise are counted for the seed, of Romans 9:8 and Galatians 3:16 and 26 through 29. The Apostle Paul is not mentioned among the 12 foundations of the wall of the city in Revelation 21:14, simply because, as he himself put it, he was as one born out of due time, of 1 Corinthians 15:8, not out of place. When physical Israel will be saved. At this point, someone's going to remind me of Romans 11:29. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Doesn't this verse prove that God will save Israel in spite of the fact that they have rejected him? Indeed it does, but Israel is simply typical of us. Now these things that happened to Israel became types of us. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 6 in the Concordant Literal Version. So when will physical Israel be saved? Will physical Israel rule the nations of the earth during the millennium? Paul speaks of their, physical Israel's, fullness. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Romans 11 verse 12. Then in verse 25 he tells us, when their fullness will be, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. It will be after the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved as it is written. There shall come out of Sion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Romans 11:26. So when will all of this take place? We are not left to speculate. We are given the exact timeline of these events. If only we would believe God's plain spiritual words. When your sisters, Sodom and her daughters, shall return to their former estate, and Samaria and her daughters shall return to their former estate, then you and your daughters shall return to your former estate. Ezekiel 16 verse 55. When will physical Israel be saved? When I shall bring again their captivity, the captivity of Sodom and her daughters, and the captivity of Samaria and her daughters, then will I bring again the captivity of your captives in the midst of them. Ezekiel 16:53. Why does God do this in this manner? For God has concluded them all, i.e. mankind, all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all mankind, that is, Romans 11:32. Those who are deceived for one main reason given in the Scriptures. They receive not the love of the truth, 2 Thessalonians 2:10. May we all truly be seeking a love of the truth.